This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, what happens when you die? Francis Sturck was born in November 1781. So that's 240 years ago in Bishop Monkton, not far from here. And he married Elizabeth Haxby. From North Yorkshire, and when he was 23. And they moved to Leeds, and they had at least, it says in the records, 5 sons and 7 daughters. At least. He died on the 15th of July, 1850, so that's 170 years ago odd, and was buried in the cemetery of Holy Trinity in Meanwood, which I can see the church from my flat window. And he left a message behind, written on the gravestone, which I walk past regularly, and it goes like this. Remember, man, as thou pass by, as thou art, so once was I. As I am now, so must thou be. Prepare thy way to follow me. Last week, Alison taught us, didn't she, about how to prepare our way to follow. And she said that John Wesley's Methodists were noted for dying well, because they lived well. Dying well begins with living well. It begins with finding a posture of trust and worship in the face of death. Woody Allen said, it's not that I'm afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. So this week, we're learning about what happens when we die, whether we die well or whether we die poorly. You know, Alison talked about Mr. Baxter, the Methodist, who was on his deathbed, and when they asked him how he was, he replied, almost well, almost well. What happened to Francis Sturck as they laid him to rest in Meanwood? In a few days' time, it's going to be Good Friday, and on Good Friday, our sadness falls with the sunset as we remember the brutal murder of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Friday, and then 3 days later, we celebrate the sun rising with a surprise, the resurrection of Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead as a human being, but in a mysterious and awesome body, a body which our world can no longer contain behind rock and stone, behind bricks and doors, and yet a body which eats and speaks, and which his disciples recognized as being him. The sunset brought sadness, but the sunrise brought a surprise. I'd like you to find John chapter 11 in your Bibles. The blue ones in the pews, I think it's page 810, if you haven't brought your own Bible. If you don't own a Bible, please do take one of those blue ones. They're for you. Or look for it on your device. John chapter 10. So this is the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11. Jesus is Lazarus's friend. I mean, they were friends, and Martha and Mary, his sisters, were friends. And Martha has seen Jesus do some amazing miracles and seems to believe that he could have stalled Lazarus's death somehow. And she challenges him, and he has this mysterious answer that he gives her. Let's read it, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, and you can sense she was a little bit cross. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is God's word to us, and it's given to us because he loves us. It's absolutely right, and we thank him for it. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me even will live, even though they die. What on earth does that mean? No one had ever said such a strange thing, and I don't believe anybody's ever said such a thing afterwards. And then Jesus goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead to demonstrate that he has power over death. Just an aside, you know, our theme for the year is the abundant life, and it's noting that this giving and taking of life are sacred moments which should be entirely in God's hands. A little later, Jesus dies himself, and then he is resurrected himself. I am the resurrection, he said to Martha, and then he was. Today and next Sunday and Ascension Sunday, I want to just unpack what that means a bit more. We're going to explore it. How when the sunset turns to the sunrise, our sadness turns to this surprise. Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? And I'm asking you, what do you believe happens when you die? Martha's Jewish religion had taught her, we read it in verse 24, that everybody died and stayed that way until the end of time, at which there would be a general resurrection of everybody to judgment. And today, Muslims and Christians, broadly speaking, believe that too. There are significant differences about the way we approach it, but that's the structure that we believe. We believe about different things about judgment and what heaven looks like. But if you move away from those main Abrahamic religions, as they're called, you can select from a cornucopia of desserts on the after-death trolley. What are the common ones that spring to mind? You know, if you were chatting with somebody at work or on the bus or over the, you know, at home or something, and or on a video call, and somebody had been to a funeral and you got chatting and you asked, I wonder what happens when you die. What do you think people would say around you? What are the common thoughts about that? Any suggestions? Nothing. Nothing happens when you die. Okay. Beg pardon? Reincarnation? The worms eat you, yes? Which is a version of nothing, I guess, is it? What else would you hear from a colleague or a friend? Yeah, you were saying, what are the things you see on Facebook sometimes, you were saying? Yeah, so people who are sort of normally wouldn't believe in God, when they're consoling somebody who's lost somebody, they say, oh, well, you'll see them again. Anything else? Yeah, go to the light, yeah. So is... live on in your heart or your memory, yep, yep. They're looking down on me. They'll be pleased with me. It's a real mishmash, isn't it, of untested thoughts. This is what... Do you know who Eddie Izzard is? The amazing polymath comedian. He could tell jokes in five languages. I mean, he's extraordinary. But he said, a very unusual person, he or she. He says this, September 2017, I had this interview, and he said, I have a very strong sense that we are only on this planet for a short length of time. Religious people might think it goes on after death. My feeling is that if that is the case, it would be nice if just one person came back and let us know it was all fine, all confirmed. Of all the billions who've died, if just one of them could come through the clouds and say, it's Janine, it's brilliant, there's a really good spa, that would be great. Although, what if heaven was only like 3-star, okay-ish? You know, some of the taps don't work. So what do you believe? If somebody asked you, what would you say? Are you aware of what you believe? Let's think of some of the things, just to pick up on what you've been talking about. So, anybody seen the film Don't Look Up? Yeah? Spoiler alert, okay? So it's this, the premise is that the scientists, clever scientists, have spotted that there's a comet coming to blow up the Earth, coming to hit the Earth, which will just destroy it. Okay? And there's lots of background assumptions in the storyline. One is denial, which comes from this, we are mankind, we are evolving better and better. It's the 21st century, we will sort life out, it's going to be okay. And living in denial that anything can possibly spoil that trajectory. Or we're in control, and Alison talked about this last week, it's one of our idols of our age. We can fix this, we can control it. And then there's a sort of sideline story about the value of family and friendships versus the individualist who's just chasing after glory. That's a different... But the assumption is that there's nothing hereafter. It's all over. Everything stops. No afterlife. There's no God who could possibly have any intervention in the course of what's happening in the world, in the universe. And that's just assumed in the story. Okay, that's one thing. I don't go to films all the time. These are just perhaps two of the films I've seen in the last year. But I've seen No Time to Die. James Bond. Yeah. So in my view, the theme behind that, the whole message behind that is legacy. What carries on? Who's taking over from Bond? Is Mathilde his daughter? And the very last line in the film is where the woman says to Bond, "She has your eyes." And he replies, "I know." Ooh, what does that mean? And it's that thought that when you die, you leave a legacy. One of the baddies says to James Bond earlier in the film, "Life is all about what you leave behind." You leave a legacy. You leave memories. You leave something that has your name attached to it. And that's the nature of the afterlife. Another thing that Alice and I have been watching, although I've stopped watching it because I do not recommend this, okay? Having watched a few episodes, it's uncouth and unnecessarily foul-mouthed and just upsettingly bad taste. It's Ricky Gervais, it all goes together, doesn't it? And it's called Afterlife, it's a Netflix box set. And he's playing the part of Tony, whose wife has died. And he's what's called an uxorious man. Do you know what that is? It's a marvelous word, that. It means a husband who's besotted with his wife. Most of the men here. And he can't move on in his life without his wife, who died early. And his wife seems to live on because he constantly watches videos of her all the time. He took lots of films of her, and a lot of the series is watching. So she's a big part of the series, although she's dead. She's there a lot. And he is a really unpleasant, cynical, cast. He mocks anybody who believes in the supernatural or anything outside what can sort of, rationalism. And but he confesses to his confidant sitting on the graveside bench. He says it doesn't satisfy his experience. And he says this: "There is no heaven, no reincarnation, no ghosts. I know that. But then I feel her inside me, guiding me." So he's got this sort of religion of memory being what happens after death. A bit like the No Time to Die. A lot of people start from that point of saying, this can't have happened and therefore it didn't. In other words, my understanding, my knowledge, trumps what might have happened. Other beliefs are to do with, like some of you said, being absorbed into nature, joining in the universe. This is quite a Buddhist thing. Our atoms float about, become particles of other things, trees or bugs or oil. But is that the same as what happens to us? Me, you. Sort of broadly speaking, the Buddhism thing is you live, you die, and you try and go through cycles which eventually get you to that point in nirvana where you disappear into the universe. Did you watch Emma Raducanu playing tennis at the US Open last year? Extraordinary. She never played at a level before, and yet she was beating everybody as she worked through the rounds. And I was watching it, and Martina Navratilova was commenting. It's a semi-final, I think, and she just was playing out of her skin, not overawed by the occasion. And Navratilova said, she's been here before in another life. Many religions, the Hindus in particular, of course, believe in reincarnation. In my view, it's a terrible, terrible belief system. Horrifyingly judgmental. You know, what did you do in a previous life to be disabled like that? Scary, without hope, fighting to get a better deal next time. If you're a man, not to come back as a woman. If you're a woman, not to come back as an animal. If you're an animal, not to come back as a, you know, terrible, terrible belief. Now, I'm only commenting on those because that's the culture in which we swim. All that sort of stuff is out there and is feeding you through TV, through books you read, through the media, through your friends. So we think it doesn't matter. And I'm asking you, what do you believe? What do you believe? With all that going on, what are you believing? I believe that if Eddie Izzard would only step away from his cynicism for a moment, he would discover that someone has come back to open the door beyond death. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That he has shown us on the way and is going on ahead. In my blog this week, I invited you to let me have your 100-word story. Thank you for the ones I've had so far. I know it's a drag, but it's a great thing to do. Please spend some time writing out 100 words of your story, of your testimony. It's much harder to write 100 words than it is to write a longer one. Let me give you a little version of mine. When I was very small, I was about 8 or 9, I was at a Christian boarding school because my parents were missionaries in Bangladesh. And every Friday evening, we would have a devotional time in our dorm. And the dorm matron would read us a passage from the Bible or a Christian story of some sort. And then one week, it was about someone dying when they drowned at the beach. I can't remember how the conversation went, and I'm not sure this is how we would do it today. But I was given the opportunity to invite Jesus into my life, so that I would go to heaven and be with him if I drowned. Okay, I'm not sure how that would fit with the way we do things today, but and it'd be easy to dismiss it at so many levels, and in the way I did. But many decades later, I realized that I'd spent my life never really thinking about what happens when I die, because I just believed it would be okay. I would go to be with Jesus. So I got on with chasing girls. Well, one girl, really, and playing rugby and earning a living. And it wasn't until many years later I began ministering to people in pastoral situations that I realized most people are afraid of death. And they don't want to talk or think about it. And maybe that's you. So, and I've come to believe that as an 8 or 9-year-old, I prayed to Jesus to come into my life, and he did. And that part of that saving moment for me was that he eradicated any fear of death in some supernatural way in my heart and my mind. What a blessing, although I didn't realize that until many, many years later. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? And in my 8 or 9-year-old way, I did. And I came to understand that when Jesus, in due course, I came to understand that when Jesus died for me on the cross, Friday's sunset, my sins were forgiven, I was saved, and that when he rose from the dead, Sunday's sunrise, he had broken the power of death and made a way for me to follow him into eternal life. The Bible teaches us that Jesus lived as a human being was thoroughly killed, and was then resurrected to life. Not resuscitated, not brought back to life like Lazarus, like an advanced form of healing, because Lazarus went on to die again later. It means that Jesus went through death and on the other side was raised to life. In other words, death was defeated. It was a door to go through, not a destination to stop at. Does that make sense? So Jesus was resurrected. He said it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He went through that door, and where he goes, we can follow. We follow him in life, living well, as Alison taught us last week, so that when the time comes, we die well. And then we go through that door and find ourselves in a new dimension with Jesus, the King of the world, the ruler over life and death, as we sang so beautifully earlier on. This is just such good news, brothers and sisters. Good for Eddie Izzard and Ricky Gervais and for you and for your workmates and your friends and your family and for you. We'll look at some of the hard evidence for the resurrection and some of the stuff around that in the coming weeks. But I just want to very, very quickly just reflect on near-death experience. Now, I know there's some people have some cynicism about near-death experience, but there's a sort of overwhelming consistency in the reports that people make who've gone through those experiences. Whether they're old or young, whether they're believers or non-believers, there's a very consistent response of what they describe, and it resonates with what the Bible tells us. It's very interesting. Very quickly, things like they report that they see immense clarity. Everything is, you know, super, 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 super HD. Boom. They report an enhanced vision, being able to see more than they ever saw before. They report indescribable beauty. Although they're looking at familiar stuff, it's indescribably beautiful. They report understanding what is being said without necessarily hearing words or sounds. Light is there, lots of light, no darkness. A deep, irresistible, overwhelming sense of love. And very nearly always a preference to stay there and not come back. Donna Tartt, who's a great novelist, wrote in The Goldfinch, one of the characters says this, "Who knows, but maybe that's what's waiting for us at the end of the journey. A majesty unimaginable until the very moment we find ourselves walking through the doors of it, and what we find ourselves gazing at in astonishment when God finally takes his hands up our eyes and says, look, surprise." At some point, we will be bodily resurrected into our created world, which is gorgeous and beautiful and rich and satisfying, as it was always meant to be. Dallas Willard describes it like this. He says, "When we pass through what we call death, we do not lose the world. Indeed, we see it for the first time for what it really is." Let me conclude. In a few days' time, it'll be Good Friday, when our sadness falls with the sunset as we remember the brutal murder of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Friday. 3 days later, we'll celebrate the sun rising on the day with a surprise, the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ rose from the dead as a human being, but in this mysterious and awesome body, a body which our world can no longer contain behind bricks and stone, behind walls and doors. And yet a body which eats and speaks, and which his disciples recognized as him. The sunset brought sadness, but the sunrise brought surprise. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I just want to pray now for anybody who wants to believe this, wants to believe in Jesus, and who maybe has never prayed that prayer before, who's not received his forgiveness, has not entered into eternal life. So if that's you online or with me today, I'm just going to pray if you want to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I love what you say. I don't really understand it all. But you rose from the dead and you invited me into your resurrection life, and so I say yes. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong, that I've believed wrong, that I've doubted, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant me the gift of eternal life as you promised. And I commit to following you as best I can. Amen. So, if you believe in Jesus, if you have just prayed that with me, or whether because you already believed him, I'm going to put up the Nicene Creed in a minute, and I want us just to say it together. So if you can, if you're able, why don't you stand? Please stand with me. And if you're watching at home, why don't you stand as well? I know I can't see you, but stand as well as we make a firm and loud declaration of the truth as we say this ancient creed together. And it builds and it builds to that last line about the resurrection, which we sang about earlier on. When Jesus replied to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, he invited her to move from a belief in a truth or a statement, like I've been teaching, into a belief in him. In him as a person, the risen Lord Jesus. And when we say this creed together, it's a statement of belief in a truth, that's what we're going to do, but it also makes it, I want you to make it a statement of your personal commitment to your belief in your following of Jesus, a reaching out of our hearts to his heart. Yeah? Let's read this together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. And just stay standing. Let's invite Holy Spirit, would you come? We've just declared we believe in you. We believe in your resurrection, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come now and rest on us? Yeah, let him come.